I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio 581. This is your host Danny, and also have Pete in the house here. Pete, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good night.
Something depends like where that.
You're listening from, all around the world, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Paris is not here again.
Yeah,
he's on vacation.
He's in the middle of the desert throwing salt, apparently.
Mad at the world. Pokemon this, Pokemon that. I'm tired of you guys. No, shout out to Paris. He's, you know, taking a little vacation with the fam, so hope he's having fun over there. And Pete, there's a lot of things going on, man. This is the summer. You know, gaming is getting pretty good, man. I think all these games that's coming out starting from next month, August, all the way to the end of the year. Oh, I'm super pumped, man.
Well, traditionally, super it's pumped. The slow part of the year as things start to ramp up for holiday season. But I think since E3, which is typically there's like a 1 to 2 month lull in game sales and new game announcements, it's been a pretty interesting span of time with the amount of news and stuff like that. But
yep.
It's interesting. Good stuff.
Are you pumped for any games that's coming out? August, September, not the holiday games, but the beginning of the holiday season.
I'm trying to think, what major though is coming up other than what's already out?
Well, for me, ReCore in August. Oh, it's actually September.
It's September.
I'm super, super pumped for that game. And
I have to say, I think I may have mentioned this on our chat, but late pass on Doom.
Mm-hmm.
They caught me by surprise. Let's put it that way. I was not expecting something that polished and well put together.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It is.
I've been playing it here and there too. Yeah, it's really, really good.
I'm trying to think what else has come out. I know my daughter's finally like, okay, so what's this Overwatch thing you've been playing? So it's interesting. Deus Ex Mankind Divided's coming out. The new Attack on Titan should be coming out next month in August. Then we've got XCOM, but that's already been out on PC. BioShock Collection, ReCore, Persona 5, Forza
Horizon. You took advantage of the whole Steam summer sale, or not really? There was a lot of games there.
Well, that's the thing with summer sales; they always give you a plethora of games to select. But at the end of the day, is it something that's going to pique your interest and make you throw down cash, like?
Mm-hmm.
Doom 2, I mean, to be able to catch it for $24 or something like that was a perfect summertime pickup because it's allowed me to waste some time. But yeah, going into August, Deus Ex, I know the initial excitement for that was there.
And then it died out.
And then it kind of died out. I don't know if that's just game performance or maybe we're just, you know, that's like, oh, wait, Vaporware is supposed to come out next month.
Oh, No Man's Sky.
No Man's Vapor.
No Man's Vapor.
It finally comes out.
That's the thing. I don't know if I should buy it or not. Like, I don't know. I'm still debating. Well, I'd rather just wait for reviews, man. Because you know what it is? It was just the whole hype at the beginning. I was excited then. It was like just too long. It took too long. Then the hype just went away.
Do we really need another Google Sky Maps?
Hey, we're doing it with Pokemon. Why not? Do it with
actually,
No Man's Sky. You know?
Didn't I Am Setsuna already come out? And I know there was a lot of hype coming mm-hmm. into the beginning of the month about that game.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mandy was talking about it. She was kind of excited. It's an RPG type game, so it's not really my, but it's more a question of hype versus, you know, does it really deliver? I haven't really heard a lot about it, you know, after, you know, the initial hype from earlier in the year, but
mm-hmm.
have you heard anything? That's more your thing.
I'm going to be real. I'm going to be straight up weird with you guys. I've been just playing the games that I purchased a couple months ago, even before E3. I just have it there. Like, I've been playing that. I haven't been really reading a lot of news. You know, it's summertime and stuff. So I've been just focusing on the games that I purchased, like Mirror's Edge and mm-hmm. Doom. And now also I went back to play Red Dead Redemption, man, because I think that's a great game, man. Playing it again, I was like, man, this game was ahead of its time, man, when it came on the 360, man. It was really, really good.
And we're still unsure as to whether that 2 is coming out, right?
I think it is. I think this was just a test. I think this was just a test to see the reaction of the crowd. And, I mean, the sales went up, and this is a very old game.
Right.
You know, so I think they're going to announce this in the future, man. So, oh, but by the way, let's do a little intro, man, of the show.
At this point, do we even need an intro?
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, or you could also check us out at play.it/gamertag. You could download the shows over there, or share with your friends. Let your friends know about GTR. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and also Spotify. Subscribe and let us know how we're doing. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. This episode is going to be pretty cool because last night I recorded a very long interview with the filmmakers of the documentary The Messengers that's coming out early next year. We've been filming for a while now with them. We started back in February in Tampa. Then the filmmakers also came down to Miami and they interviewed me, my brother, my family, my fiance. And then they followed us all the way to LA and we filmed during E3, which Pete and Paris is also going to be in the film. And that was a great experience. That was one of the craziest experience ever out of all E3s that I've been to because, you know, I was focusing on getting content for the podcast and also focusing on getting content for the documentary. And it was like nonstop running around the LA Convention Center, the cameras right behind me and everything. And it was a very, very cool experience, you know. And also we got people from the gaming industry that talked about us, like why they love working with us, you know. So it was pretty cool. But the best thing to me, man, it was just, you know, having them recording us at the CBS studio in LA.
Right.
You know, and getting Pete and Paris involved, you know, with this with this documentary, because you know we're a team and it's not all about me, it's about us, you know, the whole crew, man. So we talked about during the interview a lot about like the behind the scenes about the film, where they've been going, and why they created a crowdfunding page, because we need help, man. Because I think that once everybody starts supporting this and the more money we give to the filmmakers, this is going to help them to travel more places and interview other podcasters. And not only that, film festivals next year across the country. Hopefully iTunes and Netflix after that, you know. But it all depends on the support from the community. So whenever you get the chance, go to themessengersdoc.com. That's themessengersdoc.com. And I'm going to play the interview later on. So you can, you know, hear the filmmakers talk about the film and everything. And let me tell you, they showed two new trailers last night during a meetup that we had here in South Florida, and man, they're going all out with this, man. One was from Guatemala, and the other one was just like different podcasters talking about just podcasting in general, why they do it and everything. So it was amazing, man. So, but Pete, I know we have a couple topics here before mm-hmm. we play the interview. What are the first topic we're going to talk about, man?
I want to kind of get away from the big Pokemon Go Fest that we've been going on. I'm still playing, but I want to divert our conversation away from Pokemon Go while still maintain a little semblance of it. So
right, with Pokemon Go Radio.
Hey, with the success of this new augmented reality, can we call it a phenomenon at this point? There's been another benefit. It's Nintendo's surge in business and stock. The stock has gone up over 25% since the launch of Pokemon Go. We're talking in the number of billions of dollars of potential revenue and value coming into the Pokemon and Nintendo purses.
That is crazy.
Is it enough, though, to bring Nintendo back?
Well, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Like, this mobile app just came out. Mm-hmm. Crazy buzz. Remember, there was another app that came out before that. It was, what was the name of it? It was for like the avatars from Mitu?
Mitomo,
there you go. Wow, Mitu. That's wrong. Mitomo, and that was pretty big for like a couple weeks and then just died. This one, I just don't see this dying right now.
Here's my thing.
So
I'm not talking about the title. I'm not talking about Pokemon Go the game.
No, I'm just saying, like, what is it? Well, I was going to say what's going to happen after this. Now, what are they going to do to continue the buzz, not only for mobile, but also console-wise? You know, NX, nobody knows what's going on. There's no word about that. And are they going to have a special press conference or a media event either this year or early next year? Because, man, they need to start the buzz now with the NX, you know? Now that everybody's talking about Nintendo because of this mobile game, take advantage of this and now talk about the console, because this is going to be a way for them to sell unit, man.
What was it? Back in April, they tentatively announced that it was going to come out in March of 2017. And it's probably a good idea to maybe launch it earlier in an effort to, you know, capture and hold on to some of this Nintendo hype that's hitting. But my original,
I see what you're saying, but there's an issue with that. Why they are releasing this maybe in March of next year, and it's because of the quarter. I think it's the quarter of the stocks or something like that, right? I think it's because of that. So I think that's one of the reasons why they're probably going to be releasing it around that time. But yeah, go ahead, Pete.
So, but my story, my thought process isn't about NX and the immediate future. Is this enough for now to keep Nintendo in the good graces of gamers and stockholders? Because yes, this is the hot newness, right? This is the new hot chick in the school. Nintendo's got 32% stock or ownership in Pokemon itself. We've seen, you know, a meteoric rise in share prices for them. But is it enough to hold throughout from now until that, whenever that NX does happen to launch? Because I know as a whole, Nintendo has been struggling pretty much for the past couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. And I know after Iwata died last year, it's been kind of, you know, speculation of what the direction is going to go, because, you know, under Iwata, Nintendo flourished and exploded. You know, so besides that partnership that it signed with that mobile developer, this is like the only other major thing, and it just so happens to be mobile related. I'm just curious to know if this is what Nintendo is going to maybe move forward with, maybe a focus on mobile and handhelds and not so much the console and NX, you know what I mean? Because there's more reach, there's more opportunity to get a Pokemon or a Nintendo title in and of itself, whether it's, you know, a full-on AAA or it's an individual IP owned by Nintendo. You know, you've got much of their audience playing the Angry Birds and the Candy Crushes and whatever other ones. And more lackluster follow-ups for Wii and DS, things like that. So is this where we're going to start seeing Nintendo throw its hat as, okay, we're going to keep it in the hands, so to speak, with, you know, handhelds and mobile games? Should be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, man. I mean, hopefully later this year, we're probably going to find out more on what the things that they're planning to do with just the whole company in general. You know, also remember, later this year, we're going to see the Game Awards, you know, that's hosted by Jeff Keighley and everything. And remember, a couple years back, that was the first time we got to see Zelda. It was during the awards. Are we going to see a big, huge announcement about the NX at the awards?
Actually, now that I think about it, and this is a perfect way to segue into, but I think with that quick announcement of the Nintendo Classic Mini the other day.
By the way, you gotta explain to the listeners what it is about.
Well, let me do my quick thought on it, and then we can go into it.
Okay.
I think that's Nintendo's way of bridging the gap between Nintendo and Pokemon Go, then going to Classic Mini via the holiday season, and letting that bridge the gap until the NX actually drops in 2017. So for those that have been living under a rock for the past 3 days, Nintendo announced the Classic Mini coming out in November. It's a $60 miniature console that comes preloaded with 30 of the top performing games in Nintendo's history. Games like, in my opinion, it's what is Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. For me, actually, the excitement was Excitebike, Gradius. I think there's going to be a couple of Zelda titles on there as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe two Zeldas, Punch-Out.
Yep.
I believe also Final Fantasy. There's going to be a lot of good games there, man. Let me tell you, I am super hype about this because
Super Contra, not the original Contra. And I think I know why, because there's been reports that there's always been emulation issues, which this is at the end of the day, this is what that is, right? It's a Nintendo emulator.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this is a phenomenal opportunity for them, and it's only going to cost $60. So it's a mini console with HDMI out, so you can plug that into your 50, 60, 70 inch screen at home in the living room and play. And it's only it's powered by USB. So $10.
I have the games here.
Okay.
So it's Balloon Fight, Castlevania, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Dr. Mario, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Goblins. Tough game, by the way. Kirby's Adventure, Mega Man 2. I think that was
Ninja
my favorite.
Gaiden.
Honestly, Ninja Gaiden and Mega Man 2 was my favorite games from this, and also Metroid is pretty
Tecmo
good
Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl, that's a classic.
Hey, Legend of Zelda, maybe I'll finally play a Zelda game.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. Two, I was more of a fan of the first one than two, but the first one is really good, man. This is, for $60, perfect. And at the same time, you get that little cool little device connected to your HDMI, connect there and TV and start playing it. And if you want to get an extra controller, it's $10. Mm-hmm. And this also works on your Wii U, this controller too.
Okay.
So that's not bad. Not bad at all. And it was only $10. I'm in there, man. Hmm. I showed it to my fiance, and she was like, "Well, I know what I want for Christmas." Perfect. And she's not a hardcore gamer like me, man.
Right.
This is a cool announcement from Nintendo, man. You know, and this is a perfect time now because of the release of the mobile app, Pokemon. Make announcements like this, get other people that just loves a whole old school gaming. This is it right here, man. And make it easier for them instead of buying different devices and different things and how to download these games. This is perfect, I think, man.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
It only has those 30 games. There's no support for loading up anything else. That's what you get. Like, what you get in that box is what you're going to get. There's no opportunity to install or get additional games in the future. That's been announced. That was announced just the other day as well.
I think that's fine. I mean, do you really want extra games? Like, personally, I'm fine with this. And at the same time, let's say you're a parent and you want to get, you know, your kids involved and for them to play these games too. This is perfect, man. You're $60, dude. This is hours and hours and hours of gameplay right here, man. Mm-hmm. You know, so why not? And at the same time, play two players. The right. Parents can also play this. Like, this is perfect for me.
Coach,
you know,
because
a lot of my nephews and nieces, you know, they play a lot of the games now. But at the same time, who is not a fan of Mario? Who's not a fan of, of like Donkey Kong and Dr. Mario. This is perfect, man. I think this is a great, great move from Nintendo to make this happen and make it easy. This is perfect, man. Just connect and that's it. You're there. You know, so are you getting it, Pete?
I think so. I think it would be a mistake not to. Oh, yeah. And I just spilled coffee all over myself. Pause.
Oh, well, there you look at it. He's so excited.
Jesus. Hey, I got to go. I'll be right back.
All right. All right. So look, P's right there cleaning up. We're going to take a short break. He got so excited about this Nintendo Classic. Classic. All right. So we're going to be right back. I'm going to play the interview. And I believe we have one more topic to talk about. So, yeah. P, go clean up, man. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I'm here with the crew. The Messengers, a podcast documentary, is coming out hopefully early next year. I want the crew to introduce themselves and let's talk about behind the scenes about the film and everything. So let's start with you.
So I'm Chris Kremitzos, the executive producer. I'm a podcaster and I also promote PodFest, which is a pretty large event for podcasters.
You?
I'm John Dennis, and I run a big podcasting group on Facebook called Podcasters Hangout, and I support the Messengers, the podcast documentary, wholeheartedly.
I'm Nicole Artan. I'm a former stripper, and now I am proud to be Chris's friend, but I'm also the owner of Wild Style Media. I podcast, and very proud to be the director of the Messengers.
We got Willie Harper.
Willie. Come over here, Willie.
How's everybody doing? This is Willie Harper, the DP of the Messengers, and I'm excited to talk to you guys today.
Awesome. So let's talk about how the concept came about, because I know I was one of the opening keynote speakers with at PodFest, and I think like a last minute I found out that you guys were filming a documentary. How this came about?
It's about 5 days before we're putting on PodFest, and I'm like, man, we got Danny Pena of Gamertag Radio. We got Glenn the Geek of the Horse Radio Network, and I started looking at all the niches. And I go, these are very visual niches if we were able to follow them. And that's how then I called Neil and I said, Neil, tell me if I'm off, because I know how much time it takes to do a film. And Neil's a filmmaker. So I said, if I'm off, then I won't do it. But if you think we have a film, let me know. And he basically said, we definitely have a film. We grabbed a whole amazing crew together. Salo is a young editor who is very vibrant in the way he edits. And then Willie with his director of photography. We have an amazing crew. So we got the team together, we shot a little bit at PodFest, and then I'll tell you when it really came together for us is when we went to Ocala to visit Glenn the Geek, and then we went to your house, and your dad laid out a spread. I mean, it was like Thanksgiving for us. It was the warmth and the love from your family was just amazing, and it really brought us together as a crew, and it brought the project together because your dad just, you know, he laid out the red carpet, and it was just a great feeling for us.
I mean, has there been any like difficult moments for you guys like while filming the whole documentary?
How long is your episode?
Go for it, man. Go. All right, so you went to E3 with us. Yeah. That was your first time at E3. Like, how was that experience too, you know?
Let me tell you, I was super excited to be at E3 because I call myself a former gamer. I used to play a lot of Halo. But you know, what was funny about Chris, just to go a little bit back when you asked about how this came to be, it was, this man does so much. And when he told me about this movie, I'm like, you want to take on a film on top of PodFest, on top of everything you're doing? And he was so committed. And then when we met you and we heard you talk and you told your story about when you showed that first cassette and you showed all that really, you know, the old school way of doing things, really inspired us. We came from that era, you know? So I think it was like your story was so magnetizing. So when we went to E3, it really blew me away to follow you around, bro, because I totally underestimated you. Like, I heard your story, and I was like, okay, the podcast, we've got a big following. But when I went to E3 and saw people, the way they treat you, the way Xbox respected you and asked your crew, like, the advice from your listeners, it blew my mind. And on top of that, being a gamer and seeing all the future, and you guys were amazing hosts, man. I had the best time at E3, bro.
And we got him really tired, too, which is awesome.
I was a little chubby, you know, came back a little lighter after E3. Yeah.
John, I know you went to Guatemala with the crew. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, so the crew went down to film a podcaster. His name is Sean Smith, and he's got a mission. He does a lot of work down in villages in Guatemala, and he helps these villages who are living in extreme poverty with building these high-efficiency stoves and laying down concrete floors and giving tons of clothing and shoes and things to the children. And then he even helps out with this VBS program the entire time they're down there. And there's education and crafts and games for the children in these communities. And so, I've always kind of wanted to get involved with him and just haven't really found the time. It's ironic because his mission's name is Now is the Time, So these fine gentlemen, they had made this plan to go down and film him because part of what he does is he gathers his volunteers at the end of every day, and at the hotel they go into this room and they podcast. He asks them about their experience from that day, and it's touching, it's emotional, it's moving, and these podcast recordings, these episodes get shared with these volunteers' loved ones back home. So it's awesome. And so Sean reached out and he said, "Hey, Neil and Salo, they're coming down to Guatemala. They're going to film me for the documentary." And he's like, I would really love it if you can make it down here." And I actually was told him, I said, there's a high chance I won't be able to make it. I was stacked with work. I have a digital marketing ad agency and we're just so stacked with business right now. And there was just something gnawing at that thought of not being able to go. So I make this long story short, I basically said, "You know what? I'm going to find a way," moved some things around, and was able to make it down there. So get involved with Neil and Salo for this documentary was in Guatemala, in this country that's just completely out of all of our element, especially them as filmmakers. I mean, they weren't even sure. We were at the airport. We landed at the same time. They come out of the airport. I landed shortly before them. They come out of the airport and they're like cheering with their hands in the air because they got their drone and all the video equipment and through their customs, without any kind of issues. So like challenge one was landing and getting the equipment through, right? So anyways, and the rest of the days, it was just phenomenal experiences, stories that are really touching, and it's going to be amazing. And all shown in this documentary.
Yeah, see, that's one of the things too. Like, today you guys showed a couple of brand new videos, right? That I've never seen before. And I got emotional. Maybe it's me getting emotional and stuff, always. But no, seriously, like seeing the footage of like Guatemala and also what was the first video you guys showed? What was the name of it? The first one?
So we just call it the Words Trailer. It talks about, it kind of streams together what podcasting is, and the
work. Looks. I've seen a lot of documentaries. It looks really, really well done, man. So I know you guys been checking out like other documentaries. What was it that you want this one to be different compared to the other ones?
Well, I've done a lot of research on what we want. We just want it to be a visual spectacle, but also the narrative has to be very powerful. So I'll give you an example. This is a moment that all of us might have forgotten that happened. After we interviewed you at CBS Radio, you had your friend Yami there. We were all exhausted. And I remember like, all right, let's get her on the mic. Let's see what happens. But do you remember what Yami said? I mean, she broke down in tears because she remembered when you took her out for coffee when she was starting. The same place you took us, by the way. You took her out and you listened to her. And I knew you were the real deal because you kept mentioning the word community. The podcasters that really care, they keep saying community. And you kept saying that. And then here's this girl, within about a minute, she was crying, not because of my question, because the impact you had on her life. Because now she's one of the biggest bloggers in the world in that niche, in the gaming niche, am I correct?
Yeah.
So, I don't know how else you could depict something like that unless you had the sense to invite her out to the shoot. And it was just it was a very touching moment because I wasn't expecting that.
It wasn't planned at all.
No, I just thought she was going to say something and whatever. For many of us, we were just tired at that point. But, man, she just changed the whole scope of what we were filming. It was pretty powerful.
That's awesome, man. And you, Neil?
You know what I appreciated about that is that was a great moment. And then he does it again when we go to E3. And I'm thinking, we're at a conference with tons of people. Who the heck's going to get moved and emotional? So we interview this young lady. I ask her one question. What does Danny Pena mean to you? She starts talking to me just random. Danny Pena means to me. And out of nowhere, she stops me and starts crying. And we're like, what's going on? He didn't even know what's happening. all of a sudden she's swelling up with pride about how he is the reason and the voice and the pride of the Latinos in podcasting. And she just started crying. Then I interviewed him and he started crying because really what happened was yet another person helped by you. And we want this movie to be a Danny Pena for millions of people. Now instead of being one person, I want everyone that sees it, hopefully on Netflix or wherever it gets distributed, that we inspire them to find their voice, how you inspired those two young ladies to find their voice. And in Guatemala, the things that John and I saw, the poverty that we saw, and the humility that we experienced has changed our lives, bro. So from your family and your dad telling me in Spanish how proud he was of you, to us being with poor children seeing a drone for the first time, and then the young lady in Spanish asking me and begging me to tell the story so the cavalry will come. This has been a life-changing experience. And here we are with you again, full circle. You've been a big part of telling our story, so thank you for having us on here, man.
Now, the thing that I like about this documentary so far is that a lot of these things, not planned at all. Like, I feel like it was meant to be, you know? So
no, just you're one of the podcasters, but then you have Glenn the Geek with the Horse Radio Network, and he has the same kind of soul, but he's speaking to a group of people that love horses. You know what I mean? We have like the person might be from a different cultural background, but they're doing the same thing when it comes to podcasting. They're building a community and they're taking care of their people. And I think that's a really amazing thread when you see the film that, like Sean Smith, he's helping build villages through this medium. So this is not just tools used correctly. It's life altering. So it's very powerful for us because we're getting touched as we're interviewing you guys. Your fiance was amazing. She had so many amazing things. It was great to see her perspective, seeing you build your podcast when there was moments you were going to quit. You might not remember them because now you're so far past it. She remembered vividly because she was right next to you while you were going through that. So we have it through so many different lenses. It's pretty powerful.
How hard was it to film a podcast documentary? Because people will hear that, they're like, well, they're just sitting down talking on the mic. So how hard was it to just... to get the whole idea from this,
the last thing that we've been shooting is a podcast documentary. You know, like we're not even sitting at their studios like we initially wanted was to get them in front of their studios. We did it with him. We shot with John in your studio. But you know where we got the good footage? When he was in the heart of Guatemala helping serve people and God touching them. You know, like, so what's happened with you? We went to get you and we got you in CBS. But where did we get the good stuff? In the heart of E3, where your listeners are like, that's what he stands for. So one thing that I think Chris has done real good is find people that, they podcast, they have a nice studio environment, but they're so deep. Now we got to get them where they're doing their magic. And what's cool for me is being in that moment with you and experiencing it with you. The footage we bring home, I don't know how we're going to pick the best. We have so much best that I feel bad for Saulo, wherever he's listening. I'm sorry, buddy. There's so much great footage.
There's a lot of footage, man. A lot of footage. Now, I know you guys have been releasing videos here and there, and the crowdfunding page just launched. It's getting a lot of support, which is great for the first 24 hours, but we need more support from like the listeners, especially my community, Gamertag Radio listeners. You definitely got to help out. But tell them, for those that don't know much about the crowdfunding page, where they could find it.
Yeah, if they go to indiegogo.com/themessengers, or just search The Messengers, doc, just go there and whatever you could give. The thing we're telling people is most people tell you, give the least you could give. We tell people, please give the most you could give, because for us, we're going to make an impact. And we want you, if you believe in what we're doing, give the most you could give, because we're going to make right by you and your investment, because we believe in what we're doing. We do need a lot of editing. We do need to travel to a couple other places. And I've been approached now by some of the most famous podcasters that people know, and I'll never say their names, but sometimes their ego is just not aligned with the mission of this film. So I have to honor this film and find people that are community builders that are looking to change the world. And that's just what we're all about. So if you go to Indiegogo and look up The Messengers, we appreciate anyone from Gamertag Radio, their support, because we love this community.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, through and through, through every experience that I've had with these guys, it's such an integrity-driven project. You know, we were down in Guatemala, Neil and Saulo, filming the outside of this hotel, and this little putt-putt thing goes by. It's this little, they call them toot-toots. and these things are like motorcycles with a bench on the back of them with this cover on top, right? And they make these, you know, these motorcycle noises, like, wing, going down the road, and they kind of look funny. And Neil goes, Salo, get this. You know, Salo's got the camera. He's getting some footage.
Drone.
And he's got the drone, hand holding the drone, right? So, because it's got this really, you know, smooth gimbal on it. And Neil's like, oh, he's on the perfect side. He's like, you know, Salo, you got to get this thing going by. And this putt-putt drives by, and Salo books it. I mean, he just booked it like the Roadrunner, chased him. And this guy's looking in his rear view like this guy's going to, like, kill me. Like, what is this guy doing? You know, he's going to rob me with this thing. What's he holding? Is that a gun? Is it, like, whatever it was? They do anything for the shot. Chris, what he just mentioned about how, you know, these people were coming to him who are well-known. They're magnates. How easy would it be for Chris to say, you know what, that's a relationship that I might profit from? But no, he doesn't. You know why? Because of the integrity of this film, of The Messengers. He wants to preserve that, and he wants to show the world what it's really like to have a podcast, to dedicate so much of your time and your life to a podcast that literally changes people's lives. And I'm so proud to just know these guys and even be able to sit at this table right now with them.
The cool thing about this whole documentary is it's not only for podcasters, even those that don't know anything about podcasts. Like, I feel that they're going to learn a lot about why we do this and what a podcast is about, too. Am I right?
Yeah, the whole premise, because we are podcasters, many of us, was how do we start a movie if you didn't know anything about podcasting, and let's take you on a journey that's entertaining. So that's our mission, is that someone will watch this. And even if they don't want to do a podcast, they'll get up off their couch and say, man, look what this guy Denny has done. Look what, you know, Glenn has done. And they could relate to the avatar, because it could be a kid that's a Spanish kid that's like, man, I know Denny. He's, you know, I am Denny. And we want them to do something with their life, find their voice and find their message. So, yeah, if it's podcasting, phenomenal. But if it's not, as long as they find their voice, that's what The Messengers is really about.
For those that, let's say, get crowdfunded, get support from a lot of the listeners and everything, what's next? Where can people actually see this film? Is it going to be in theaters? Is it going to be only on Netflix? Like, how that's going to happen?
First thing we're going to do is we're going to launch it at PodFest, because that's where it all began. So next year at PodFest, we're going to have a huge opening premiere.
That's in Orlando, for those that don't know. Orlando.
February 23rd to 25th, we'll launch it there. We're expecting about 500 people to be in attendance. It's going to be huge. And we've got the resort that could fit the people. But after that, we will do wide distribution via iTunes and Amazon. But the whole intent is to get on Netflix. So we just got to get the eyeballs on it. Once we rank it up on iTunes with the help of our podcasting friends, we believe that Netflix will come knocking on our door.
Yeah, we're also hoping to get it in some film festivals so that it can take on some accolade, you know, and just be seen and respected as a film on top of just being a people seeing it as a movie about podcasting. We want it to be a respected, award-winning film, totally separate from the topic of it. But I definitely want to thank your listeners and the support, because I remember when you were in E3, and I guess you announced on your show that we were following you around, we were with you, and one of my biggest moments was when they walked up to us and they saw my shirt and they told me, I saw your trailer, and I didn't even know they released the trailer. So I was weird. I was too busy making it, and they were telling me that their hairs were standing on end and that they saw you and all stuff, and it just made me so proud. I was like, wow, I'm still shooting it. I'm not even seeing the trailer, and they're already moved by it. And thanking you for your support, man. Like, you've been a great person to follow around and to give us this little moment here to share our film. I want to thank your listeners from the bottom of our heart and just ask them to please support us, not just because you're in it. I mean, you've built up an amazing audience, but just because we want them to find their voice and become a content creator. And the best way to do it is start with this and help us tell the story of the kids in Guatemala and your story that will inspire a kid, like Chris just said, because that is the point. It's not about getting money. It's just help us tell the story so we can inspire somebody else. And if that happens, dude, we all win, man.
I believe in the project, man. You know, since day one, ever since you guys came up to me and mentioned it, I was like, I'm down to help out, you know. And it was awesome that, you know, you guys not only filmed me, but also recorded, you know, my dad, my family, my fiance, my brother, which I started GTR because of him, too. And not only that, having my co-host there, man. You know, Leo, you interviewed them. That was an awesome, opportunity having them on the film too, man. You know, I'm really, really excited about this, man. Like, I'm talking to my family every day about the film and everything. And I've been telling them, look, donate. We got to, like, really make this happen, man. You know, so I'm proud that that we're doing this together, man. You know, like, I feel like if we all win, it's good for everyone, you know? So
one team, one dream. Shout out to Paris and Pete Rock out there. I really believe in, you know, one thing about John, he was saying he's proud to be here. You know, we kind of have him as an honorary member now. The man flew the drone. The man has put his miles with us.
He's paying dues.
Yeah. I think the last thing I want to say is what I'm most happy about is if this movie were to stop right now is the friendships I've been able to make, John, with you, that we knew who you were, but now we're like boys, you know, like, I love you guys. I feel like we're going through something together. John and I have something very spiritual we went through. And I just feel like I'm leaving. If this movie, let's say people enjoy it and they see it, but it doesn't go any further than that. Just the bonds that we've had on the road and the conversations I had with Sean Smith about religion and spirituality and life. Bro, it's just made me a better person. And then knowing you is amazing now. I hope we stay friends forever. And these guys are like family now, bro. Like, you rock this shirt. You're part of our tribe, you know? So thank you, man. And just God bless you, man, for helping part of our journey.
So one more time, Chris, mention the website and everything for the listeners, man.
Yeah, they could go to Indiegogo/The Messengers or just search it on Indiegogo. It'll pop up. Or we have themessengersdoc.com. One quick thing. The way we got the name...
Yes, I forgot to mention that. I'm sorry.
It's really important because we did a focus group with some friends, and many of them were from the business community, and they said, hey, we should call it a podcast documentary. And Neil and I weren't too hot on that. We're like, that's not really creative, even though SEO-wise, I'll find it. So Neil said, let the title find us. So we were interviewing Lee Silverstein, a friend of ours who has the Colon Cancer Podcast. And I said to him, besides a podcaster, what would you call yourself? And he goes, a messenger, because when I had cancer, I wish I had this message. So it was light bulb. We're like all podcasters. If you ask them if they're a messenger, the ones that truly believe in it, they'll tell you, absolutely, I'm a messenger. And that's how we got the title, The Messenger, semicolon, a podcast documentary.
That's awesome, man. So website, real quick.
TheMessengersDoc.com. And just find us on Indiegogo. Just The Messengers. Just, you know, search it. Thank you so much, Danny.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back. Pete, you're good? You cleaned up?
My office smells like coffee now.
What the hell happened? What happened?
I completely forgot that I had my mug right in front of me. Usually it's off to the side, and I was talking about it, and I spilled coffee all over myself. My freaking... I'm so mad right now.
That's the power of Nintendo, man.
Yeah, blame Nintendo. Blame Nintendo for everything. God damn it.
Oh, my God. This is so funny, man. All right, so I know we didn't mention this because of the whole situation what happened to Pete, but the NES Classic Edition... it's coming out November 11th, 2016. It's only for $59.99. And for those that are listening, let us know, are you planning to get this or not? Give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Also, shout out to the filmmakers of the documentary, The Messengers. That was a great, great interview. I had a blast. And I can't wait for this film to come out finally, man, sometime next year. So, but we need your help. Make sure to donate. Right now, I'm looking at it right now at the Indiegogo, and it's 14% funded. We have a long way to go. So we definitely need your help for this, man. So spread the word and help us out if you can. All right, Pete, I know we have one more topic to talk about.
Yeah, we'll make it. Do we want to continue talking about the whole Valve CSGO stuff, or do we want to talk about Evo 2016 that happens to be going on right now?
Let's go with the Evo stuff. Let's start with something positive with this.
Well,
so yeah, what's going on with the whole Evo thing? I know it's happening right now in Vegas.
For the first time in recent memory, mm-hmm. esports has finally broken through. Like, they're actually having the finals and stuff in Las Vegas and being broadcast on ESPN2 and Twitch this evening as we record it. We're recording on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. My concern, though, and maybe because it's, you know, we're recording this and it's 12 o'clock on the East Coast, so it's 8 a.m., but I've been watching it for like about the past hour on Twitch, and Mandalay Bay, which is where they're holding the competition right now, they were doing, I can't remember what game it was, but I know it was Sonic Fox was using Unstoppable Jason against somebody, you know, Jason from Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
People were shocked in the chat on Twitch, but there was like 12 people in the crowd.
You know, it, well, it's just early too, man. That's the problem.
So I'm wondering, is it because it was early, you know, but this is supposed to be a monumental event with, you know, with esports taking the main stage, but like there's no support physically. Now is,
oh no, no, there is people there. Remember, Pete, you know, later on, that's when it gets even more packed, you know, especially like the finals. That's when it gets crazy. And there's multiple tournaments too happening at the same time, you know, so it's Killer Instinct, Street Fighter, and so on. There's a lot of games there, man. So, but I've seen it previous years and it gets crazy packed. And even had friends that attended the event, and they say it was like an amazing, amazing event to attend, man. To watch that live with the crowd and everything, it's a whole new world, man.
Yeah, it was Mortal Kombat X is what was being played. And so apparently having Sonic Fox play using Jason, mm-hmm, or Unstoppable Jason kind of freaked everybody out because nobody was expecting that. And I'm watching the stream now and there seems to be a little bit more people showing up in the background in the stage, like, but it's pretty interesting to see that. I mean, even at 8 o'clock in the morning in Vegas, people are just getting back to their hotel rooms at that point, and yeah, people are in a typical Vegas night. But to see the support that it's finally getting, not just from the gaming community, but from major media publications such as ESPN to actually live, you know, broadcast something like this, it's phenomenal for the gaming community first and foremost. And congrats to Ally for taking the Smash 4 tournament.
Definitely, I think the industry is changing, man. Because you know now, Activision is going to have their own esports company. EA is going to do the same, and now this and there's a bunch of other ones we haven't even mentioned, especially the one that you attended with your son up north.
Yeah, we went to the summer finals for League of Legends. That League was interesting. Legends,
yeah. But see, it's changing, right? But it's like,
and it's funny, it's because crazy. Watching it on your laptop or your iPad or your phone is one thing. Mm-hmm. Seeing it live and seeing the crowd get fueled up from that calm, like, excitement of just watching the screen, and then not just seeing the crowd explode in excitement when somebody does an alt or pulls a triple or a quad or whatever, but hearing the announcers explode with excitement as well. It goes, and the speed at which it transitions from calm to frenzy within seconds, mm-hmm, is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I don't know, is that more the game, or is that just, you know, the environment and the excitement of everything going on?
I think it's a combination of both, but it's more of the environment, gamers together seeing it live. I think that's like more than just the game.
It's like baseball. So, like, it's boring to watch it on TV, but when you're watching it live, you're mad excited.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But you know what, Pete? Next year, I think we should attend a couple of the esports tournaments and cover for GTR, because I think the industry is changing, and it's cool for us to, I think, start, you know, covering that on the show. Because when I started way back, we used to go a lot to like MLG events across the country, and we talked about it, and I even interviewed pro gamers at that time too on our show, and then we stopped for a little bit. But now that it's back, I think we should make that move for next year.
It probably wouldn't hurt. I know it was interesting to see my son's reaction, and I think we may, mm-hmm, have mentioned this before when we were at the League of Legends event. There was a fire alarm that had caused everybody to evacuate the hotel at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So we're all standing out outside. Uh-huh. And my son is a huge fan for TSM, Team Solo Mid, but also SK was there, the South Korean team. And one of, at the time, and I probably need to brush up on my League of Legends, but Faker was, you know, one of the team players there for Team SK. Mm-hmm. And he had just like recently been on the cover of ESPN, the magazine. Like that shows the pull of how gaming has now transitioned into a legitimate ESPN cover story. Right. And mm-hmm. Faker was there. You know, my son got to take a picture with Faker. Granted, it was 3:34 in the morning. So, you know, everyone was like, yeah, fine. I'll just take pictures with the fans, whatever. But seeing him respond or react, see my son react in awe when it would have like put it in a similar fashion. If I was there standing next to like Dwayne Wade or, you know, when he was with the Heat, mm-hmm. or like Paris meeting and having a photo op with Kobe, right?
Yeah.
Something like that is how that whole scene was for my son to meet the guys from Team Solo Mid or to meet Faker, right? It was just like that starstruck awe of when you see the people that you look up to and your idols, I guess you could call them. So it was interesting to see that these weren't like the prototypical athlete, the big, you know, strong. No, these were just, they looked like you and I, Danny, literally, you know, like just jeans and a t-shirt with a hoodie pulled up and a baseball cap, you know, seeing that was cool. And I think esports has a phenomenal opportunity moving forward. And yeah, I think it'd be a great thing for us in general, if we could get a chance to just not just go out and speak to, you know, the gaming community that attends these events, but to speak to the Fakers and the Solo Mids and those teams, but also maybe get the point of view and speak to some of the streamers, you know, who knows if we could get like a PewDiePie on the show or, you know, like a Total Biscuit and get their conversation and see how they feel about podcasting and get that conversation going of podcast versus streaming. And are we really the dinosaurs in the gaming industry, as we call ourselves?
We're not no dinosaurs, man, but okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'd love to see that dynamic saying. And that conversation of how, you know, we see streamers and how streamers see the podcasters and where we see in the middle, right? And I would just love to see what that conversation would turn into.
Well, just give us a call or send us an email and let us know your opinion about all this. And I think we're going to wrap it up, Pete.
Okay.
Hopefully the next episode, Paris could join us. And we can talk about more topics. And I believe we have a lot of fan mail and voicemail, so we've been saving it for future episodes of GTR. So if you would like to be part of one of the, you know, fan mail episodes, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And you could also check out our past episodes. Go to gamertagradio.com or plate.it/gamertag and listen to all of our great, great episodes, our debates, our roundtable discussions, our exclusive interviews. You could check it out. It's all there. And yeah, you head over also to, you know, the following podcast directories. We're there too. You know, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. Just find us. We're there too, and follow us and share with your friends. Anything else, Pete?
No, man, I'm watching the Twitch stream here of this of Mortal Kombat X, and it's like, yo, like there's like, I don't know if it's animosity or just rudeness, but like some of these people, like they finish the game, they don't even like shake hands or say, you know, good gamer. They just like pack it and go. They're just like, I'm out, done.
They're done.
I'm going back to drinking at the club.
Oh my god, insane.
Yeah, so yeah, I gotta go get a mop and start cleaning my office now because it smells like coffee.
He got super excited with the whole Nintendo Classic, man. That's the power of gaming.
Power of Nintendo.
Power of Nintendo. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.